Good morning. In one sense, we are all losers, aren't we? Let me tell you why. Because there was a burden of sin rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, Christian, when he sees that burden in Calvary, it rolls and falls into the sepulcher. And he went singing. We are losers in the correct way. But it's also, it seems to be a day for corrections. This morning when I mentioned something, I said something in German. The word attention in German is actually Achtung, not Jawohl. You know, as I was growing up, I used to read comic books that came from the UK. So I don't retain much of it, but they were wonderful war comics of World War II. That's how I picked up a little bit of German. Anyway, so with that, we are going to do some things here. What we'll do is we'll read a very lengthy portion of the Word, but I would like you to pay attention to it, and then we'll pray, and then a few brief remarks. So that's how we'll do it. Let's read in Luke chapter 18. We'll go into 19 as well. Luke 18, beginning at verse 15. Luke 18, beginning at verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when they heard it, and they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, and he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let us pray. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we once again seek your help, but we do give the thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to speak about him, and this is a topic that is so dear to us. But yet, O Father, without your help and the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot do this correctly, to glorify you, the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord. The people are hungry. We are hungry. We want to receive what will fill us for eternity. Help us in that. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Now, this is a very, very interesting portion of the scriptures. We see it by the children coming to the Lord first, and then there is a rebuke. And the Lord would correct them and say, no, suffer the little children. If you take in the kingdom of God as a little child, that's how you shall receive it. And then, in the description, there is an encounter of the Lord Jesus with three men. One is the rich young ruler. Next is Bartimaeus, the blind beggar. And the third is Zacchaeus. Three people, very different people. The first one, actually, he was not rich. The Bible says he was very rich. And this man, you know, if I inadvertently say something about him, let me say it right up front. He's a wonderful specimen of in the Word of God. He kept the commandments. If you read 19 chapter of Matthew, it will say that the Lord actually looked at him. And he adds two more commandments. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And the man would tell the Lord, I have kept all these from my youth up. What do I lack yet? And he was a wonderful man. And yet, the Lord would speak to him and point out something that he really lacked. The lacking that was there is very, very specific. I think I spoke on this last time I spoke about the one thing. You know, when we come into the presence of the living God, the Lord will be very specific to us. We are in the presence of the living God right now. And he wants something very specific in your life and my life. He's not going, you know, it's not arbitrary sins, things. He's going to just put the finger right there and say, you need to set this right. I would also say that if you read Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet Isaiah comes before the living God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord lifted mighty high. The first thing the prophet sees when he sees everything is, he says, Woe unto me, I'm a man of unclean lips. A very specific area in his life was done. But the grace of God is wonderful. It never stops with just pointing out your sin. There's immediate remedy right there. What does it say in Isaiah chapter 6? It says, I don't know whether it's the cherubim or the seraphim. One of them flew, takes the altar, and places it on his lips. I want to make a very, very important point today. The Holy Spirit is never, ever negative. He will point out something, but he will also point out the remedy with it. He is not going to put you to shame. That is not his intention. He wants to save you. He wants to convict and embrace you as his own. The Word of God is the same. It'll point out, but it'll show the remedy with it. There is no hopelessness in the Bible or the things concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. It is when we men who stand on 3 feet of controversy on this platform, we sometimes leave out the remedy that comes with the convicting and the convincing. Woe unto us if we don't point out the remedy that's in the Bible and in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord was very specific to this man. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, take up the cross, and follow me. And he went away very sorrowful because he was very rich. Why didn't he immediately cry out for the grace of God? Because he didn't want to be delivered. He thought that he could still manage his life. How many of us today are depending on our resources, whatever it be, the resource of intellect, the resource of stature in family or wherever we are, our friends, our jobs, whatever it be, even our health sometimes, and say, I can manage it. If I have better willpower, I can do this. And God is saying, no, it's not going to work. And that's the man. But I'll again repeat it. He was a very, very good specimen of the life that a Jewish man was asked to live. He was somebody who came, kneeled to the Lord, and said what he said. But the point is, the Lord pointed out, and he went sorrowful. And then, because he went, the Lord makes a statement that it is what? How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, in the Old Testament time, in the Jews, clearly the old economy, rich people were indeed blessed by God. And they were given that privilege, that the blessings of God. Because God said, if you keep my commandments, I'm going to bless your land, I'm going to bless your breadbasket, I'm going to bless everything that you sow, your hands, everything, your children. There will be no disease in your life, nothing. And so the people begin to wonder, what is this? Even if a rich man cannot enter into the kingdom of God, what about us, poor common people here? And the Lord says, no, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And then Peter, you know, he's the guy who wants to make sure that he gets hold of the Lord in the right way. And he says something, oh, we left everything. What about us? And the Lord gives him this wonderful promise. There is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. We live in a society, a time, and in a country and a place where this is not true. Because if we become Christians, maybe our drinking buddies will stop calling us to have a drink, maybe. But we will not get ostracized. Let me give you an example, or actually not an example. It's an actual thing. My grandfather came to know the Lord Jesus Christ when he was around 30 years old. He was a Hindu Brahmin, and he had lots of land. He was a very rich man. And he came to know the Lord. The first 2 months, he was hidden in a missionary's house because they were ready to kill him. He was completely ostracized, kept out of his Brahmin community because the Brahmins always lived in one cluster. And he was kept out of that. And you know something else? They performed the death ceremony for him. That means he was dead to them. He loved his mother. And when his mother died, they cordoned off that area. When her body was taken in the byre, they cremate people. They was cordoned off so that he could not come in. His own mother. He could see it from far off. He was the oldest son, and he would do the ceremony for his mother. That is the price many Christians are paying for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are wonderful other stories about this man my father has related to me. How very Christ-like. But you know, that's not the point. The point is, he gained many brethren. My great-grandfather on my grandmother's side was ready to take such a man, give his daughter as his wife, and that's my grandma. And they took him into the family. And then he had so many brothers and sisters. And this is happening now in the country I came from, in India. If you become a Christian, you're ostracized. Every time there's a baptism, we publicly testify to that. They will never again marry in their community. They will not be given death rites in their community, a place to bury. Everything is gone. Why? Because they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the price they paid. But the Lord will not forget. And he is ready to do that. Then we see that the Lord is presenting the cross. They'll go up to Jerusalem. He'll be crucified, delivered, ill-treated. And then the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." He goes through Jericho. From what I understand, Jericho is very close to the Dead Sea. It is one of the lowest inhabited cities in the world. If you want to see how low, you go down to the Dead Sea. Dead Sea is absolute, I believe, I may be wrong, there's no living thing in the Dead Sea. There's so much salt there. And Jericho was just next to it. And there, the Lord meets this blind man. If you read it in the accounts in Matthew and in Mark, you will see this man's name as Bartimaeus. And it will also say next to it is the son of Timaeus. Bar in Hebrew or in that time meant son of. That's why the Lord says, "Simon, son of Barjona." What it really means is Simon, son of Jonah. So in one sense, this blind beggar did not even have a name, though he's called Bartimaeus. He was just the son of Timaeus. He was blind. He was everything that we don't want to be. He was sitting on the highway, side of the road, begging. And then you see that somehow he senses, probably in his blind thing, people walking by. Suddenly there's a cloud. There's so much dust coming in his nostrils. He understands and he hears. There's a crowd going by. And what happens? He, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. They didn't give him much elaboration. He asked what happened, and they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." And he does something remarkable. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Look at that beautiful address for a Jewish man. Jesus, that name means one who shall save them from their sins. "Thou son of David," he brings his lineage to the kingdom, "have mercy on me." Very, very individual prayer. He cries out for mercy. Today, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by you. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, will you cry out to him? When others have said that only one phrase, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." That's all that was said to him. But he cried out. And it didn't stop there. Those that went before told him to keep quiet. How remarkably clear that is to us even now, right? We want certain decorum. We want certain ways to come before God. We think that if we came in this proper way, God will accept us. One of the things that really keeps unbelievers to coming to the Lord is this very false concept that those who go to church are good people. If we really see it, we are sinners saved by grace. If we ever preach that you and I have nothing good in us except the Lord who lives in us. And that's what it is. You know, a lot of times when people die or something happens, they'll say, he was a good man, he used to go to church. No. Only if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes accepted in the beloved. And because our Savior is the one who is good, we came into the goodness of repentance. So another thing here, this man would cry out, and the Lord stopped. I love that. And what does he say? And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. How wonderful, isn't it? He stops, and the one who commanded the waves and the seas to say, peace be still, stopped and commanded them, bring him to me. And again, the specificity of meeting the living God. The Lord asks him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The Lord wants to elicit out of this blind beggar exactly what he wants. How many times we come to the Lord not knowing really what we want? Because most of the time it's we trying to manufacture something. We don't understand what we need and what we want. Our need sometimes is very, very spiritual. We are in a circumstance that we need to know what the Lord wants us to ask him. And this man was very specific. He didn't ask for anything else. He didn't ask, Lord, give me my eyesight and then give me so many things. Help me get married, get me a job, get me do this. No. He was very specific. Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath save thee. He not only went physically seeing, but spiritually his eyes were opened. He saw the Lord. He saw the Savior. And now he does something else. Immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And in another gospel it will say, and he was following him in the way. The Lord was the way, and he was following him in the way. This blind man, the Lord came down to Jericho, one of the lowest points on the earth, to save a poor, penniless beggar. But you know, on the cross, he would go even deeper, the place where no man would ever go and come back out. The place of separation from God. He would come down. This morning we were talking about how from where he came, let's also think where he went, bearing your sin and my sin and the sin of this whole world. So dear one, today, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Will you cry out, Lord, have mercy on me? This cry is absolutely essential in a human's life, because he will stop everything that he's doing, command you to be brought before him, and your faith will save you. What does it say in Joel chapter 2, verse 32? Everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. The very rich man did not want any deliverance. This man was delivered. Then we come to another favorite character for all of us. May I say, call him Little Zacchaeus. He was a short guy. And I love short people because it says that the human body, the people with short bodies are very efficient people. And they are always, you know, very energetic, nice to be with. But this man was somebody who wanted to see who Jesus was. It says here, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And then because he was short, he's not going to be tall. You know, this, when DJ gave me my mic, I asked, you know, suddenly DJ has gone up another 2 inches. So I asked him, how tall are you? He's now 6 feet plus. And I'm only just 6. So, you know, this guy was short. You can't see over everybody's head. So he did something. He climbs a sycamore tree. Now, I looked into this, a sycamore tree. A sycamore tree is a large tree and meant for shade. So lots of leaves. It has, by the way, some round fig-like berries that are very edible. They're not as sweet as figs, but they're edible. They have a small pit in between. They're reddish in color. And there are two references in the Old Testament I'd like to point out. The first reference happens, I believe, in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 27. It says Solomon made silver, you know, very common thing, and the cedars, he had planted so many cedars that they were as common as the sycamore in the valley. So here again, the Lord is still in the valley. He's just passed through Jericho, but he has not gone up. May I have the inference here? In the valley, in the lowest point in our lives, the Lord is meeting us. He is meeting you in your place, in my place, in the lowest part. You know, we call that, what's that, Great Brook Valley? Yes. We have this pride in our life. Oh, I am this educated, that family, my country, my so many things. The Lord is no respecter of persons. But when he came to the lowest point on earth. And he's talking to this man, very short stature. And he climbs into the tree, sycamore tree. The second reference in the Old Testament is eating that fruit. Amos was a shepherd. And he says, I'm a gatherer of sycamore fruit. It's a cheap fruit that he gathered. He says, I'm nobody to handle the word of God. I just gather sycamore fruit. That is some, you know, not even the higher variety of fruit. It's something there. There's another thing, may I infer? A very common tree found in the valley. God will meet us in our very common life. In the mundane things of life, God wants to meet us. Moses was met by God when he kept the sheep in the back of the mountain. David learned most of his skills and his songs when he kept the sheep. In preparation to kill Goliath, he first killed the lion and the bear. Where did they kill the lion and the bear? When he was tending his sheep. Never, ever discard your common mundane duties. As a mother, as a father, as a son, and as a student. Common things in life. The Lord will meet you right there. So this man climbs up, and the Lord is passing by. And look again, just like the blind Bartimaeus, please. And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said unto him. He was trying to hide in the leaves or wherever he was. Other people would have missed him. The Lord will not miss him. He goes right to that place. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Chop, chop, come down. Because for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus of Nazareth passed by for blind Bartimaeus, and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That very same Jesus came and said, make haste. And how did Zacchaeus respond? And he made haste. You see, that is the word, the living word that was spoken, and the response in the heart. Zacchaeus didn't kind of slowly come down saying, now, Lord, what are you going to tell me? How this? No. He made haste and came and received him joyfully. Will you receive Jesus joyfully today? Will you make haste when he says, make haste? Put your name there instead of Zacchaeus. If you are in that sycamore tree, hiding between the leaves, thinking that you're too short, too invaluable, too damaged for anyone to care. No. He's going to stop by. He's going to tell you. Him that seeketh diligently. What does it say in Hebrews? God is a rewarder of him that seek him diligently. He is going to reward you if your heart is going to seek it out. You're going to cry out like blind Bartimaeus, Lord, have mercy on me. Cry it out today. Don't change the time. There are a couple other things, and then we'll finish. That he was gone to be a guest, there was murmuring to be a sinner. And look at Zacchaeus' response. And Zacchaeus stood. That brings a chuckle to my mind. This short fellow has to stand. Zacchaeus stood. And then he does something very remarkable and said unto the Lord. I want to emphasize this point. He didn't care two hoots about who was around him. He spoke to the Lord. What does he say? Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. The rich man couldn't give anything to the poor. Here he was giving it out. The other thing he said was, if I have taken wrongly from anyone, I will restore it fourfold. Exodus 22:1. Exactly four times. He is going to add and give it to him. When he made that statement, the next day there would have been a long line in Zacchaeus' house. Hey, you took all that money, pay it back now. He couldn't care less. He had met the Lord. And the Lord affirms it. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. Always confession is made to the Lord and for the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. Many, many a times we do things, spiritual things, for the sake of how it'll go well with who around us. No, it need not be. You speak to the Lord, just like blind Bartimaeus said, this is my need, this is what I got. And then what does our Lord say? For so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And the last sentence, and I think I have 2 minutes more. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. One of the most precious words in the world. He is still seeking. He is still seeking. You know, in Hebrews, when I quoted, it says, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We think we sought him and found him. No. In a greater sense, it was he who was doing the seeking. He is the one who's finding. Not to condemn you, not to put you to shame, but to save you. To save you. And those of us that are saved, what does John chapter 4 tell us when the Lord meets the Samaritan woman? You know, isn't it remarkable the Lord gives the greatest revelations of his post-resurrection first to a woman, Mary, and the greatest revelation of worship to a Samaritan woman? What does he say? The Father seeks them that worship him in truth and in spirit. Sunday mornings at 9:30, the Father seeks you. If you are going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, breaking the bread and drinking the cup, will you be found there, those that are saved and baptized? It's not my words, it's not my invitation, it's not the church's invitation. It's the Word of God. Seek. He came to seek us, He came to save us, and He's done it. Let's close. Our Father, we once again thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came to the lowest parts of the earth to save us. Lord, most of us are like blind Bartimaeus. But would we have been like Zacchaeus too? You would have saved us. Would you be like the rich man? You would have still saved us. Father, help us to have a heart that will cry out to you, save us, and to deliver us from the things that we hold dear. Lord, as we depart, take us home with your joy because your presence goes with us. Lead us and guide us. Be with the evening meetings tonight. Lord, we commit that to you. Prepare many a heart and bring them to hear your word. And Father, and the days to come and the meetings, if the Lord Jesus has not yet come to take us, bring us together again to give you our thanks and our praise, and to worship and to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.